Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Moses Henry Jones. Well, my brothers and sisters, do we have a show in store for you tonight? We are going to continue to do our series entitled, How Spiritually and Biblically Retarded is Jensen Franklin? And my answer from the very get-go is, he is very retarded, very, very retarded. Now, we started the series yesterday, so let me encourage everyone to listen to yesterday's broadcast. It was an introduction. I laid out for you what it was that we would do, and basically we're just going to chop up his sermon, a sermon entitled Jezebel's Children. And, you know, he just preached this sermon, Jensen Franklin did. And I thought he was retarded when he penned his book, Spirit of Python Dunce. But I got to tell you, 6 years later, because he penned it in 2013, and here in 2019, the man is super retarded. He hasn't learned a thing. The man hasn't learned a thing. So we're going to break down his sermon. We're going to go little by little. We're going to just look at several minutes a day, a broadcast, and we're just going to analyze everything that he says. We're going to go very slow. We're going to be very methodical. But I promise you, you're going to be blessed, because I'm going to prove to you that this man doesn't know what he is talking about every single time he opens his mouth. And I'm talking about every time. Every time something, every sentence that comes out of his mouth, he's clueless. And listen, if he's clueless, he's dangerous. So I need you to help me spread the word about this series. I want more people to hear it. A lot of work, a lot of effort is going into preparing this series for you, my loving radio audience, and I want to be a blessing to you, and I want to be a blessing to as many people as possible, because most people today sit in church and they basically say amen to everything that the pastor says, and they shouldn't. They should listen. They should use their biblical discernment skills. They should have their Bible open. They should be reading, and they should be following along. But you only say amen if something is true. And I can tell you that a great deal of what is being preached today by these very popular pulpiteers is not true. A lot of it is just complete error. And this whole sermon by Jensen Franklin is wholesale error, complete error. So I know you can't wait to get into the study. Remember, saints, I am also producing outlines. I'm producing outlines for this series. So if you want to get the free outlines, they're free. Email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, freechurchbooks@gmail.com. It is the same email address that you would use if you want to ask me for the free books. What books you ask? The Spirit of Python Dunce, Spirit of Python Ignoramus, Spirit of Python Retard. It's an ebook trilogy that I wrote on about Jensen Franklin's Spirit of Python teaching. And it is, listen, it's three wonderful books that you can have free of charge. All you got to do is email me and say, brother, can I please have the outlines? And can I please have the books? And you'll see that you will get them for free. Well, I want you to open your Bibles without any further ado. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to, well, Jensen's going to start speaking at verse number, he's going to start reading Revelation chapter 2 starting at verse 18. And I want you to pick it up where Jensen is picking it up. And then we're just going to go right into the broadcast and break down his teaching. Now, remember, have your Bibles opened. Also, I already sent the outlines out to those who were on the outline list before. Like I said, if you didn't get it, if for whatever reason I emailed the outlines and you didn't get them, please email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, and I promise to send you the outlines. Now, you need these outlines because I'm very detailed, and I want you to read what I'm reading. And because I have the footnotes on the bottom. In other words, I provide footnotes, and my footnotes are the proof that what I am saying is true and what Jensen Franklin is saying is false. So please, you need the outlines. Now, today's outline, if you have your outline in front of you, it is the outline with the green heading on top. The green heading, broadcast number 218, part number 2, and the broadcast date is December the 5th, 2019. And this outline consists of page 2, 3, and 4. This today's broadcast has three pages that I want you to follow, because there's three different things that we're going to be looking at in this short broadcast, three things that we're going to be looking at to just show you in just a few minutes how Jensen Franklin is wrong three times, back to back to back. So have the outline in front of you, and let us listen to Jensen Franklin. He's going to be reading from Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And the sermon that we're going to be looking at today that Jensen Franklin is preaching is called Jezebel's Children. We are starting at the four-minute mark, the four-minute mark. Let us listen.
I want you to look with me today in Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. I don't have time to read that. Verse 18. And the angel of the church in Thyatira write.
Wow. He can't even pronounce the word Thyatira. He goes, Thyatira, Thyatira. Listen to this again. Now, I'm not making fun of him. I just want, I'm using it because I want to explain something about learning disabilities. And this is what he has. This is why the man is retarded. His reading comprehension is horrible. So let's listen to him again.
Doing. I want you to look with me today in Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, I don't have time to read that. Verse 18, and the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, says, who's saying this? The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith, your patience as for your works. The last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really.
No, it's not a reference to a spirit. It says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. That woman Jezebel, not that spirit Jezebel. That woman Jezebel. Now, in the Greek, it would read that gune Jezebel, gune, wife, woman, an adult woman, a woman of marriageable age. It doesn't say that pneuma Jezebel, that spirit Jezebel, but it says gune in Greek. And again, it's referring to a human being. But notice how Jensen Franklin says it's really referring to a spirit. Really? Really, Jensen? Really? You can't even read the English text. And you're going to tell us it's a spirit? It's really referring to a spirit. Relax, ladies. It's not talking about any woman. It's not gender specific. We're just talking here about a spirit. Here it is again.
What the Spirit is saying. I don't have time to read that. Verse 18. And the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things. Says, who's saying this? The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith, your patience as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really. who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Listen to this. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works.
Now, I stopped it because I want to emphasize that Jensen Franklin is having a hard time reading the text. It shows his lack of preparation. It just shows that he did not read the text, did not study the text very much, did not practice. Every preacher, before he gets into the pulpit, practices reading his text. She, a female preacher, is to practice reading the text. You select a preferred translation that you're going to be preaching from, and you read it again and again and again. This way, when you stand before God's people, you flow. Your reading flow. You don't sound like an idiot, like an unprepared idiot, which is what Jensen Franklin sounds like. From beginning to end, and reading all those verses, he had a hard time reading. Now, not only does he have a hard time reading, he has a hard time comprehending what he reads. Now, let's consider the next verses. Let's consider what he has to say next.
Verse 26, he who overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels.
So again, verse 26, and he that overcometh, Jesus is speaking to each individual church member at the church of Thyatira. He says, he that overcometh and keepeth my word unto the end, to him will I give power over the what? Nations. The Gentile nations. The apostate nations. The wicked nations. I will give him power over the nations. And he, the one that overcomes, shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father. So now I want you to listen to Jensen Franklin's interpretation of those two verses. Jensen Franklin, who doesn't understand what he's reading, is a very poor reader because he doesn't practice, is now going to interpret verses 26 and 27. Let's listen.
Beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways.
Well, that's the opposite of what the text says. That's the opposite, and that's the first thing we're going to discuss today. That's the first, because he starts to expound the scripture. He starts to give us his interpretation of verse 26 and 27. So let's go to the outline. And again, our goal today in the introduction is to continue to forensically analyze a recent sermon by Jensen Franklin entitled Jezebel's Children. Franklin reads Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29, and proves he lacks critical reading comprehension. Let's put aside the fact that he can't read. Let's just put that aside. Let's just put aside that in reading the text, he just made a mess of the reading. He made a mess of the reading. Paul says to Timothy in the pastoral epistle, he says to Timothy, Paul does, he says to this young pastor, give attendance to reading. Every pastor has to read well. It's part of your studying to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you stand behind the pulpit and you read a text, you're not supposed to sound like a bumbling fool. And now, having read the text like a bumbling fool, now he commences to interpret the text. In particular, verse 27, where it says, and he shall rule them, meaning the overcomer, the believer that overcomes, the believer that heeds the words of Jesus and keeps the words of Jesus to the end, to him shall Jesus give the power to rule them with the rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Now, Denson Franklin says, oh, God is going to use those who are broken, and he's going to give them great power. Well, that's the opposite of what the text says. No, he's going to give the overcoming believer great power. And this great power is compared to a scepter, a shepherd's scepter. And what does a shepherd do with a shepherd's scepter? Well, he guides the sheep with the scepter, but also if wolves come, if a predator comes, he takes that club, he takes that rod of iron, and he whacks the wolf in the skull, cracking the wolf's skull. In this case, the metaphor is pottery. When we, empowered by Christ in the end time, rule the nations with him, if they rebel, we shall easily crush them as one who has a pottery vessel, a clay vessel, is no match for a rod of iron. If you were to put in battle a rod of iron versus any kind of clay vessel, it's going to be no match. The clay vessel is going to shatter once it comes into contact with the rod of iron. The clay vessels in the text represent the Gentile nations. The rod of iron represents the might and the power that Christ gives those who overcome with him in the end over the nations. So listen again to what Jensen Franklin, he's confused. The man is confused. He's claiming the opposite. He's claiming that what the Bible calls the Gentile nations and compares to vessels of clay, he claims those are Christians. That the Christians are the vessels of clay. And the Christians who were once bruised and shattered shall one day be given great power. This man is stupid. Again, listen to him. And we haven't even begun the sermon. We're not even into the sermon yet. He's just making annotations. He's just making remarks on the last verses he just read. Listen to him again.
Tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23, I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes, overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron.
So again, what will Jesus give the overcoming saints? The power over the nations. To rule them with a rod of iron. The nations represent pots of clay who are weak before the might of the Lord. The Lord represents the rod of iron. The Lord's authority and power is compared to a rod of iron. The Gentile nations are compared to pots of clay. They're no match for the rod of iron. And since we are joint heirs with Christ, and we have overcome because we kept his word to the end, he will reward us, allowing us to rule with him and to rule over the pagan, apostate, rebellious nations. So again, he's got this wrong. Listen closely.
I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes, overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay.
So he gives the believer, in the end, we win. In the end, we get to reign and rule with Christ. In the end, not now, not in this present hour. In this present hour, the tables are reversed. The pagans rule. The pagans persecute us. The pagans make our lives miserable. The pagans who are under the power of Satan, they are attacking the church, attacking the saints. But when Christ returns, the table shall be turned, and our conquering Savior will give those who overcame and held on to the end, he will give them power to rule the nations with the rod of iron, to dash them, to beat them down, to overcome them as easily as a rod of iron over a vessel of clay. Now listen to what he says these vessels of clay are. Notice how he switches the meaning. The vessels of clay are sinners, yet he makes the vessels of clay out to be saints. Listen to him carefully.
Well, like potter's vessels, what's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways.
That's not what the Bible says. He just flipped the meaning. This guy is so stupid. He is so stupid. Now, go to your outline. Go to your outline. And this was the first thing I needed to document. Now, I provide you with four commentaries. I could have given you 100. I could have given you 100 commentaries. I could have given you 100 citations proving
100 times out of 100 that Jensen Franklin is wrong. All my citations are on the bottom. All my footnotes are on the bottom. My first quote comes from the great scholar J.B. Smith in his commentary on the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is what he wrote. Number one, the breaking to shivers as a potter's vessel has special reference to the wicked. Who are the potter's vessel? Has special reference to the wicked, not the saints, as Jensen Franklin claims. The breaking to shiver as a potter's vessel has special reference to the wicked, whom he, Christ, will destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's found in J.B. Smith's commentary on Revelation. The second commentary comes from the great scholar. What a scholar, Robert Mounts. Number two, he writes, Christ promises the overcomers that they will rule the nations with a rod of iron or an iron scepter. And share in this rule is promised to the overcomers in Thyatira. The description of this rule as the shattering of the potter's vessel speaks to the absolute power of the victorious Christ and his followers over the rebellious nations. So the potter's vessels are a type of, or is used as a figurative phrase to describe the Gentile nations, the nations in opposition to God. And yet Jensen Franklin says, oh no, these are the saints. These are the ones who have been shattered in their life. And then God, at the end, is going to make them, he's going to give these shattered vessels power. What school did this man go to? What school? What books did he consult in preparation for this sermon? You know the answer. He hasn't consulted any books. All right. The next quote comes from George Eldon Ladd's commentary on Revelation. He writes, number three, the New Age cannot be inaugurated without the displacement of the old, fallen, sinful age and its rebellious host. In some way not made clear in Scripture, the followers of the Messiah are to share in his triumph over the hostile nations. And of course, we can't leave out Walter Scott, the great British theologian. He wrote this in his exposition of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He writes, number four, the overcomer shall rule or shepherd the angry and rebellious nations with a rod of iron. There will, referring to the rebellious nation, the will of the rebellious nation shall be broken, their pride humbled, their glory laid in the dust like the crumbling to pieces of brittle vessels. The brittled, broken vessels are the ungodly. Jensen Franklin, in his warped interpretation and understanding of that text, says, oh no, oh no, the broken vessels are the saints, who when Jesus returns, he will give them the power to rule with him. Again, the man's reading comprehension is completely lacking, has no clue. And here he is again. I'm only going to play it one more time so that you can see that the man is completely off.
Rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels. What's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels.
How is God going to give authority to the wicked? They were broken because they opposed Christ at his coming. They were shattered to bits. Their armies were demolished when Christ showed up with the church. And these hostile nations, according to Psalm 2, this is a messianic text that refers back to Psalm 2. And these wicked nations are compared to weak pots of clay who are no match for Jesus and his saints who have the iron scepter. They're no match. And this guy gets this wrong. So again, my brothers and sisters, we're not even into the sermon. He's just commenting on the last verses that he read there. And in his misunderstanding of the text, allows him to give us a misinterpretation of the text. The guy hasn't even started to preach yet, and he's already off. Completely off. All right. Now, let me highlight the second thing in your outline. Scroll down to page number 3. And in page number 3, what I want you to understand is that now, Jensen Franklin is going to begin his introduction of his sermon. He's going to tell us what his sermon is going to be about. Who's in the sermon? Who is he talking about? What is the text about? What is the foundational background to the text? He's going to give us a starting point. That's what an introduction is. An introduction is a starting point. But one of the things that I want you to notice about Jensen Franklin's introduction is that he is super superficial. That what Jensen Franklin is saying is really, really, really kindergarten stuff. Please listen to what he has to say, and I'll highlight it. We'll come back to the sermon. Now begins his introduction. And as he's saying what he's going to say, I will pause it and then refer you to the outline and break it down for you. Here he is.
I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways. I want to talk to you about something very different today that God laid on my heart that I believe is a word very much in season for our lives. I'm preaching today on Jezebel's children. We've all probably heard people refer to Jezebel, but I want to talk about that 23rd verse where he makes reference to Jezebel's children. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to us today. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation describe seven churches. And it is a picture and it gives the characteristics of what the end time church is going to be like. Seven stages of Christianity, seven prophetic churches. In most of those churches, there's things that Jesus himself complements, and there's things that he confronts and combats. And there are certain characteristics of those churches. For example, the Laodicea church had the characteristic of being lukewarm. They were lukewarm. They were not hot. They were not cold. They were just lukewarm. And then the church of Philadelphia is one of the seven that he names, and it was a loving church. And Jesus complimented them and spoke to John and said, there will be the love of God is needed in every church like Philadelphia, the church of Philadelphia has.
All right, so let's go to the outline. Let's go to the outline. Now, again, point number one, Jensen Franklin's sermon introduction is extremely superficial. This superficial presentation is proof that Jensen Franklin is still a dunce, failing to further his biblical education and understanding of Scripture. Notice what he says. There are seven churches. Well, everybody knows that. There are seven prophetic stages to Christianity. Everybody knows that. Seven prophetic churches. Everybody knows that. Then he goes on to talk about the church of Laodicea. Oh, the characteristic of this church was she was lukewarm. The church of Laodicea was lukewarm. Everybody knows that. Can you give us something else? Can you give us something more? Then he goes on to the church of Philadelphia. The church of Philadelphia is a loving church. Everybody knows that. That's your introduction? The church of Laodicea is lukewarm. The church of Philadelphia is loving. That's the extent of your introduction? That's it? I bring this up because it shows a lack of sermon preparation. It shows a fundamental flaw in Jensen Franklin's ability to preach. He never prepares. Basically, what he is doing it here, he is just winging it. He's just saying one little thing here, one little thing there. He's just doing the bare minimal by way of an introduction. And that is not what you do when you develop an introduction. Notice yesterday I spent the whole broadcast preparing my introduction. I had a lengthy time. I produced a lengthy process in unfolding my introduction so that you would know where we would be going with this series of broadcasts. Jensen Franklin says, the Church of Laodicea, lukewarm. The Church of Philadelphia, loving. Well, if you're going to say that, everybody knows that. That's a given. And notice how he says nothing about the Church of Thyatira. Listen to this.
But it was according to the seven personalities and characteristics working through the seven churches. Lean in, I promise this is going to hit you right where you live in. He said, now, in the church of Thyatira, there is something that you have done right, but then he shifts the focus and he says, but I have something against you.
So again, he describes the church of Laodicea, lukewarm. He describes the church of Philadelphia, loving. He jumps into the church of Thyatira and gives us nothing. That was his whole introduction. That's his whole introduction. What did you get out of that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Again, go back to your outline because I want to show a pattern. Here's the pattern. This is what I discovered with Jensen Franklin. Jensen Franklin is a superficial preacher teacher. Superficial is all Dunce Franklin knows. I'll give you a perfect example. In his book, The Spirit of Python, Jensen Franklin talks about different types of demons. He writes, without going into an expository work on demonology, in general, there are a few types of evil spirits mentioned in the Bible. Allow me to give you a brief explanation of them. A, he talks a little bit about, and it's a half a page, a little bit on page 29, a little bit on page 30. He talks about tormenting and vexing spirits. Then on page 30 and 31, which again, the way the book is formatted is just half a page. He talks about deceiving spirits. Then on page 31, he has a little paragraph, a paragraph and a half, on territorial spirits. Now, with all that the Bible has to say about evil spirits, that's all he could do. Three pages. Page 29, which was half a page. A full page on page 30, and a full page on page 30. So 2.5 pages, he gives us a superficial rundown, a superficial breakdown of evil spirits. The man is completely superficial. And by the way, everything Jensen Franklin said in that section of his book on demons is regurgitated stuff. In other words, if you hear Paula White teach on demons, she's going to say, oh, there's tormenting demons, there's deceiving demons, and there's territorial demons. They don't go beyond that. All of them out there, including Jennifer LeClaire and all of these crazy pandemonists, everything that they say about demons is extremely superficial. When it comes to the Bible, they don't know what the Bible says about demons. They cannot go deep into what the Bible says about demons. Now, they always go deep in what the Twilight Zone says about demons. But when it comes to the Bible, extremely superficial. I find that Jensen Franklin's presentation on the seven churches. Oh, Laodicea, she's lukewarm. Philadelphia, loving. Thyatira, nothing. He said nothing about Thyatira. Nothing. The man is, listen to me. We saw how, when reading the text, he said, that woman, Jezebel, he said, but it's really a spirit, it's not a woman. We saw him there manipulating the text. Then when he got to the part where the overcomers, you and me, we shall rule with Jesus, the nations over the nations with a rod of iron, he said, oh, no. The broken vessels, which represent hostile pagan nations, hostile nations to Christ, who are pagan to their core, they're the ones God is going to give power to. That's not what the text says. And then in his presentation on the seven churches, it's just, listen, it's not even milk. It's milk. It's more water than milk. You didn't get a steak. You didn't get steak and potatoes in this introduction. You got water. Water. And all that he said, what he said about Laodicea and what he said about Philadelphia and what he failed to say about Thyatira, all that's regurgitated stuff. He's just like in his book when he was parroting what I call 4K demonology, pre-K, you know, when you go to school, when you put kids in school half a day, and they call that pre-K. You have one group of children that are 4 years old that go in the morning. They go in from 9 to 12. Then the parents pick up the kids at 12 o'clock. Then there's another group that comes in at 1 o'clock from 1 to 3 or 1 to 4, and they have the afternoon session. That's it. These are little minds who go to school. They have snacks. They color with crayons. This is pre-K, 4K, kindergarten for 4-year-olds. Jensen Franklin is presenting a 4K eschatology in this sermon on the Church of Thyatira, just like he presented a 4K demonology in his book, The Spirit of Python. He's giving you 4K stuff. Because, again, I want to prove to you that the man is retarded. He's been in the pulpit over 30 years. He's been in the pulpit a long time, but hasn't learned the art of preaching. Hasn't learned. And I go back to the fact that he's a dunce because he fails to hit the books. He doesn't study. He doesn't crack open a book. This is why you know the man is stupid. Listen, everything I just presented to you, four quotes. I got those four quotes from four books. Every preacher has got to hit the books. You got to know what you're talking about. You got to read. You have to be an extensive reader. You got to read much. You have to study much. You have to reason much. You have to think much. You have to ponder much. You have to pray much. You have to pray for God to illumine your mind. Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. Listen, God is watching. Did God approve of your study? Did God see you hitting the book? Jensen Franklin didn't hit the books. He starts to interpret that verse 27, and listen, he's calling saints sinners and sinners saints. That's right out of the gate. He's talking about how people who have been broken to, their lives have been broken to pieces, how God's going to let them rule. What are you talking about? You're moronic. That statement is moronic. But that's all Jensen Franklin can offer people. He is clueless. Now, why is the man clueless? Because he is allergic. There's something wrong with this man. He doesn't like books. He doesn't like reading. He doesn't like to study. And it shows. It shows in his silly sermons. It shows up in his misinterpretations of the Bible. It shows up. And then whenever he talks on a specific subject, it's all superficial. It's all milk. Listen, we're not in Sunday school. Preacher, give me something more. Mr. Preacher, give me something more than Laodicea, lukewarm. Philadelphia, love. Thyatira, I don't know. Give me some meat. This guy can't give meat. And what he's offering isn't even milk. It's like that milk that you buy, it's 1% or 2% that is just water with a little bit of milk. That's what he's offering up. It's all baby stuff. This is all baby stuff. His introduction on the seven churches is extremely superficial. He could have said a whole lot more about the church of Laodicea. He could have said a whole lot more of the church of Philadelphia. And by the way, in my opinion, if I'm preaching on this text, I wouldn't even be talking about the church of Laodicea or the church of Philadelphia. I would be devoting my whole introduction to what is the church of Thyatira and what does she represent. He gave us nothing. Think about it. His whole sermon, Revelation 2:18 through 29, is about the church of Thyatira, and he gave us nothing on this church. Nothing on the primary church he's preaching on. Gave us absolute. Why? Because the man has nothing to give. He didn't study. He never studies. Everything he does is superficial. He copies other people. He regurgitates what he's heard. He parrots what he's heard. That's all he is. Now, let's go to point number two. We did the introduction. We did point number one. Now let's look at point number two. And this has to do with Jezebel. Let's listen to the. And again, we're just going slow. Going very slow. Here he is.
Because you're allowing Jezebel to seduce and bring sexual immorality into the church and into people's lives. Jezebel was a reference that goes all the way back to 1 Kings 18 and 19. She was a woman who married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked and immoral. And even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years. She had.
Right there. He tells us that Jezebel was dead for 1,500 years or almost 1,800. Okay, so let's go back to the outline. Again, Jensen Franklin's knowledge of Jezebel, what is he doing? He's guessing at best. Guessing. Do you want to sit in front of a preacher who's guessing? Do you want to sit in front of a teacher of American history who's going to tell you, well, listen, I'm going to guess that the American Revolution was 240 years ago or maybe 600 years ago? Do you want to sit under a teacher that doesn't know the dates, that doesn't know how long it's been? Now, listen, it's very easy to find this out. I want to give you all out there a homework assignment. When you get off this broadcast, I want you to Google, I want you to type into your search bars, Bible charts on the kings of Israel. Bible charts on the kings of Israel. And a whole bunch of charts are going to come up. And you're going to find out that all those charts on the kings of Israel are going to give you dates as to when those kings came into power, when their kingdom was inaugurated, and when their kingdom came to a finality. It's very easy to find. Listen, you don't even need books. You can just Google Bible charts. And many charts, many wonderful charts out there, have the dates. So now, I have the books. I have an extensive library. And I can tell you, with almost great precision when Jezebel died. And I can tell you that it wasn't 1,500 years ago. And I can tell you it wasn't 1,800 years ago. It wasn't even 1,000 years ago. It wasn't even 1,000. Think about this. In his introduction, Franklin claims that Jezebel has been dead for 15 or possibly 1,800 years. Well, the question that I have for my pastor is, if I'm sitting in the pew and he's telling me Jezebel has been dead for 1,500 or possibly, I would say to him, but pastor, which one is it? Because we know when George Washington died. We know when Thomas Jefferson died. We know what year Jesus died. We know these things. We know what year Abraham died. We know these things. Pastor, what do you mean you don't know? Is it that much of a mystery? Which one is it? 1,500 or 1,800? Why is Franklin guessing? He's guessing because he doesn't hit the books. He's guessing because this guy never cracks open a book. Okay. So now, I went to a few books in my library, from different sections of my library. I went to my history section. And I pulled a book off my shelf called The History of Palestine. And this book is by the great author, John Kittle. And in the book, he gives us the date for when Jezebel died. She died in the year 884 B.C. So 884 years before the birth of Christ, this woman died. Now, when you add to that the 96 years after the birth of Christ, remember, Christ was born, and after he was born, 96 years later, John wrote the book of Revelation. That's the reason why we're adding 96 years, is because the book of Revelation was authored in the year 96 A.D. So when you take the 884 years of the Old Testament and you add the 96 years in the New Testament, we have a total, Jezebel, we can roughly say, we can very closely say that Jezebel died roughly 1,000 years ago. A thousand. Now, I give you the citation. I give you the book where I got that from. Okay, so now, I went to another book, but this one deals with Bible names. It's a classic on Hebrew names, the proper names of Old Testament scripture. This book was put out by the great scholar Alfred Jones. The great linguist Alfred Jones. Okay, and he tells us that Jezebel died in the year 884 B.C., he concurs with John Kittle. So again, when you add 884 B.C. and the 96 years, you come up with 980 years again. All right, so now I went to one of my Bible. I went now to the section on Bible encyclopedias. I went to my Bible encyclopedia section, and I pulled out a book, and this book was by Samuel Follows. He's the editor of this series called the Popular and Critical Bible Encyclopedia. And when I looked up Jezebel, and I looked up Jezebel in his book, he gives me the date 884 B.C. Again, when you add 884 B.C. plus the 96 years, because remember, John penned the book of Revelation around the year 96 B.C. We know that, based on historical records, based on the fact that John was exiled to the island of Patmos by the Roman Emperor Domitian. Okay, so we got these dates. So again, it's been 980 years. Okay, so now I went to my theology section, and I took a book off my shelf called the Encyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, and Ecclesiastical Literature. And they give me the date that Jezebel died in the year 883 B.C. Okay, so there's a one-year difference from the other three. So when you add 883 plus 96, you have 979 years. Then I went to a book that has many charts, and this book is called The Illustrated Guide to Bible Battles. And the reason why I went there is because Jehu, the one who defeats Jezebel in battle, this battle is recorded in this book, Jehu's battle against Jezebel. Jehu's the one who says, "Who's on my side?" And he looks at the eunuchs. And he tells the eunuchs to throw Jezebel out the window. That Jehu. So this is the Illustrated Guide to Bible Battles. And they give me the date that Jezebel died in the year 881 B.C. So again, if you add, and look, 881 to 883 to 884, I mean, it's in the neighborhood, saints. It's in the neighborhood. So when you add 881 plus 96, you have 977. So we can roughly say that Jezebel's been dead 4,000 years. But Jensen Franklin is clueless. Clueless. And you're saying, "Brother, but you're nitpicking." No, I'm not nitpicking. This is a pattern. I'm showing you a pattern. In just a few minutes of audio, you can see a pattern of non-preparation. You can see a pattern of a man who, when he writes books and when he preaches sermons or he teaches classes, the man is not prepared. The man is winging it. The man does not know what he's talking about. Again, let's listen to Mr. Franklin. And again, here are all the, I give you all the books. All the books where you can find this information. I'm not making it up. And my brothers and sisters, it's very easy. All Jensen Franklin, if he didn't have these books, I don't know if Jensen Franklin has any of these books, but you don't need to, because I just gave you a homework assignment. Go online, go to Google, type or call whatever, go to whatever search engine you use and type in Biblical charts of the kings of Israel, and you're going to see many charts come up, and you can click on them, and you're going to see that they give you dates. And all you have to see to determine when Jezebel died, all you have to do is determine when her son Jehoram died. Jehoram died the same day that she died. Her son Jehoram died the same day she died. And the same day that her son died and she died is the same day that Jehu came into power. And most scholars agree that he came into power in the year 884 B.C. It's very simple. When you add the 96 years, from year 1 to year 96, when John penned, it's roughly 980 years. My brothers and sisters, you can round it off to 1,000 years. If you say it's been 1,000 years that Jezebel died, no one is going to blast you for that. But when you say, when you let on that you are unprepared, that you're stupid, that you didn't study, well, it could be 1,500 or possibly 1,800. Well, which one is it, moron? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, one who can rightly divide the word of truth. Here's Mr. Franklin again. Listen to this fool.
Working through the seven churches. Lean in. I promise this is going to hit you right where you're living. He said, now, in the church of Thyatira, there is something that you have done right, but then he shifts the focus and he says, but I have something against you. Because you're allowing Jezebel to seduce and bring sexual immorality into the church and into people's lives. Jezebel was a reference that goes all the way back to 1 Kings 18 and 19. She was a woman who married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked and immoral, and even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead. Her spirit was very much alive in a new generation.
So again, which one is it, Pastor? You see, if I was conducting my class on the art of preaching, if I was teaching my class on the art of preaching, or it's called the art of sacred rhetoric. That's the classy name to the course, the art of preaching. If Jensen Franklin got up and did his sermonette before the entire class, and he said, and he was doing his 15-minute sermonette, and he would say, Jezebel's been dead 1,500 pounds, I would say, sir, can you please tell us with some level of accuracy how long Jezebel's been, because you can't tell your congregation it's 1,500 or possibly 1,800. Do you want to go to listen to a historical lecture on George Washington and the professor say to you, well, listen, George Washington's been dead 200 years or maybe 400. Now, you're going to say to yourself, is this guy, is he an imposter? Is he faking that he's a professor? Because you got to know your material. You got to know your subject matter. This guy doesn't know anything. Anything. And we're only 5 minutes into the sermon. We're only 5 minutes. And I've already shown you that the guy is clueless, and it gets worse. It gets worse. So, my brothers and sisters, please tell others about this series. I'm excited about this series. I'm excited because I would never thought that Jensen Franklin would give me another opportunity to show how retarded he is. And let me tell you something. Like I shared yesterday, he started out as a dunce. And people are dunces because they don't hit the books. We all start out not knowing anything. But there's a thing called homework. And when you do homework, the teacher gives you textbook assignment reading. You're not doing homework out of thin air. You have to, when you do homework, you got to open up some books. That's the whole purpose of homework, exposing you to authors, exposing you to other books. Jensen Franklin is a dunce because he doesn't like books. He doesn't look to books. He doesn't read scholars. Doesn't. But then he goes from a person who hates books to a person ignoring the Bible and ignoring key subjects in the Bible, biblical subjects, theological subjects, linguistic subjects, historical subjects like this one, when Jezebel died. He doesn't know Bible. Listen, saints, when you go to Bible college, and this is Jensen Franklin is in a heap of trouble because he didn't go to Bible college. He's a Bible college dropout. I can tell you, when I heard this thing that Jezebel could possibly be dead 1,500 or 1,800 years, I said, this guy, he is stupid. You know why? Because I took Old Testament history when I did my undergraduate work. When I earned my bachelor's degree in sacred literature, as I was earning my bachelor's degree in sacred literature, I took 3 courses in Old Testament history, Old Testament History 1, Old Testament History 2, Old Testament History 3, took in my undergraduate work. Then at my master's level, I took 2 additional courses of Old Testament history at the master's level, and then in the doctoral level, I took an additional 2 courses of Old Testament history at the doctorate level. So I was well-schooled. I knew. Listen, I said, I'm going to go consult the books because that's what we always have to check the books. But I know Jezebel hasn't been dead no 1,500 years or 1,800 years. This guy is just guessing. And guessing he was. Guessing he was. Listen, if you take his first answer, if Jezebel's been dead for 1,500 years, he's off by 500 years. If you take his second answer that Jezebel's been dead for 1,800 years, he's off by 800 years. My brothers and sisters, 500 years is a lot, and 800 years is insane. And this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't have a clue. And this is why he's dangerous. So I need you to tell as many people as possible to listen to this sermon series that we're doing on Jensen Franklin. It's going to open their eyes because I am convinced that there's a whole lot of saints who go to church and never check out what their pastor is saying. Never do it. Never do it. And say amen to, oh, what an anointed sermon. Oh, the Lord really blessed today. The Lord spoke to. But how could the Lord speak to you through so much error? There's nothing in this sermon. It's all watered down milk. Some of it is Kool-Aid. Listen, the guy is off. And we just start. We're only 5 minutes into it. And 2 minutes of that we did on audio was his reading the Bible. So technically, we're only 3 minutes into his little sermonette. And it gets worse. It gets worse. So tell other people about this series. Jensen, you can call the broadcast anytime you want to. The number here is 516-418-5978. Again, Jensen, I'm inviting you to call the broadcast because I need to take you to school. I need to put you on the little yellow school bus and take you to school. So, my brothers and sisters, that'll do it for today. I'll be back, Lord willing, tomorrow with part 3. God bless you.